Welcome to our corner where we talk about the Streets of Avalon role-playing game. I'm Chris.
And I'm Brett.
And today we're talking about the city within the city. Brett, last time it was the Lachey. This time we're talking about the primary place where the Lachey operate out of and a giant graveyard, right?
Yes.
So even with my brief description, what is the city within the city?
So the city within the city is a chunk of original Avalon. It's been walled off. It's on the west side against the western wall.
By the way, Brett's cough is just him slowly turning into a lamplighter. Don't worry. It'll be fine. Maybe.
Yes, it's a couple more cadaver bones in my neck and I'll be finally transferred.
I'll start offering him some, you know, baby fat candles.
I've been losing weight. I could probably do something to gain some back. Anyway. Well, the reason I put this in there was I'm like, I want a piece of this city that you can't go to, like the Forbidden City in China. This section of this ancient thing that's walled off. You can't go. Why can't you go? It's old. It's bad. It's forbidden. Why is it forbidden? Well, you just fucking are. You can't go. The actual reason in my games is modified and been changed and switched over the decades of running this. And some of my players have been doing it forever. Like, didn't you say it was this and this and this and this? I said, yes. And all of those are true. Because it depends who you talk to. It has been said that there was a fire, plague, it's crawling with undead, it's the only way to keep them locked away, or that it is the throne of Odin, the founder of Avalon, and when he returns, he will be reseated here up in the throne room. That's been thrown out. And also that, the area is cursed to do some horrible war, fight, plague, witch, demon, something bad happened. It's cursed. It's just cursed. Don't go there. It's bad. The only people who do go in and out are the Lachey. I shouldn't say on the regular, but they have a path in. They literally go in the main gate that's blocked off. There's guards around the outside. The guards are often known to either be griffins themselves. Like, hey, I got griffins here. They're taking care of this and everything. But when my players have come up, they're like, these griffins have a different badge. These griffins have, they don't wear shoes. What's going on? Oh, wait, these are Lachey guards. This is a little different. They have the same abilities that the griffins have, but these men and women are handpicked by the Lachey and they run the place.
So this is interesting. Now we have,
get in or out.
We have like three or four different types of griffins at this point. We have your regular griffins that work. We have the white griffins. Mm-hmm. We have your conscripted griffins when you need to conscript a bunch of them all at one time.
Correct.
And now we have the Lachey griffins that patrol the city within the city.
Correct.
Interesting.
So when the Lachey come down, they have oftentimes and it's built up by the fact that they see this happen. There is a cavalcade of nobles, carriage with a car that carries called
a hearse.
Hearse. Thank you. A hearse out carriage. And they bring in a noble person who has passed. Very wealthy members of the noble family get buried here. That's where their family mausoleums are, their family graves, and so forth. We talked about with the Lachey, oftentimes families are buried together, certain areas, and the area gets worked over time as spaces becomes allowed.
Which is wild because the city within the city is kind of big as it is.
It is big as it is, yes. I have only had one opportunity based on how the story was going when the players needed to get into it. They went through the sewers and they had to pay a ton of money to bribe their way with the sanitary excavator who let him in because he's like, look, if the church finds out, if the Lachey, the old faith finds out that I betrayed their trust, look, they'll burn me. Like literally when I'm dead, they won't bury me. They'll just light me on fire in public so everybody knows I wasn't buried. Come on, man. We can't have that happen. You got to keep your mouth shut. But they had to go in to get an artifact. They had to go in to get something. What I use it for, or had to use it for in that particular instance, was the place where an ancient thing was housed that was important. And when I talk about artifact, I'm not talking Hand and Eye of Vecna artifact or Wand of Orcus. I'm talking about a piece of something that is of historic importance to Avalon or a noble family or some person of power or needs power. I feel like I need to find the signet ring. I need this tool. I need this document. I need this gem, this piece of paper. Oftentimes those things do indeed have a magical property to them, but it's not like you go there and you have a +5 Holy Avenger, right? That's not the idea behind it.
It's not how magic items work in this game.
No, anyway. It's not. So when we're talking about artifacts, we're talking about, as a modern day archaeologist would say, this is an artifact, it's an ancient thing. And from this ancient thing, how much can we learn? It's amazing.
Yeah. You just found a piece of like the tablet with the 10 commandments on it. You just found, you know, the Spear of Lone Genius, right? Like something like that.
Ah, that's neat. I mean, you're going to learn a lot from this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reality behind why it's locked away, I like to leave as nebulous as possible for my players because I can just pick and choose and so on. What's going on inside is this is where the Lachey leadership runs all the graveyards. the seat for the Old Faith. This is where they are. It is true that in the center of it was the original Emperor of Avalon when he ruled. This is where he ruled from. That seat has been abandoned for a very, 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 very fucking long time.
Was it Odin?
No, it never was Odin.
Okay. Because, spoilers, everybody, Odin's a real person. He just isn't a god anymore. He's like...
No, he's just... Yeah.
Diminished, and he's like roaming around the city doing stuff.
Yeah. He's all that's left after the Soul War. He's like, look, you know, I burned out 90% of me keeping Erlik out, so that's all I got left. So the last emperor during the Soul War and stuff, this is where they were. What the Lichay are doing is maintaining history in this place.
Oh, that's cool. So it's like a museum.
It is. However, they have enough data in there that would scare people. What does this mean?
Oh.
The Lichay know for a fact that there's nothing left.
Oh.
The Lichay understand as best as any mortal understands. The dwarves, of course, and perhaps the elves, but the dwarves absolutely know the truth. The lamplighters, as we talked about early on, know the truth. The Lichay are on the edge of the truth.
The leadership of the Lichay knows more.
The leadership of the Lichay knows a lot. Yeah. And they're like, we cannot just give this information to the nobility. We surely cannot give it to the priests. The riots would be insane. We couldn't do it. The upheaval, the social chaos that would cause, we just can't do it. Cannot do it. So the other ideas I've had for adventures within and using this space is somebody has gone in, taken a thing, and is trying to sell it. Some lucky son of a bitch got in. He or she and the crew got in, took a thing, made it out. Crap. We need this fixed. We need the artifact found and returned to us here. You are not to do blah, 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 blah. Very strict rules. Go kill those SOBs or capture them, bring them if you can't find the artifact. The other component is because of what's in there, the knowledge and so forth. Sometimes they have problems with things like brain gorgers and other creatures of early that would love nothing more than to find these artifacts, get this evidence, get this information, and just spread it. It's cancer. If you take this information and you push it out hard and fast and crazy, it's like drinking grain alcohol. It's like too much. Oh my God, it's going to knock you on your ass. If the wrong people get a hold of the right information, things will go poorly.
Yeah, it sounds pretty great. I kind of love this idea. The whole concept that one, there's dangerous stuff there, right? Like all the things absolutely. That you say could potentially be true. There's undead wandering around. There's all that stuff. But the idea that it's like a museum almost, like the Lichay protect history and the history is dangerous. Mm-hmm. That's a really cool concept for a space.
Yeah, I mean, and I think about it, I'm like, there are undead. I've always had undead in there. Weird monsters and the displacer beast type creatures. Sometimes they could be found in here. Other weird fey anomalies. Things that are either captured by the Lichay, perhaps just live here, tolerate, have a relationship with the Lichay. Take care of them in some way in order to help them guard and protect this ancient knowledge and museum. Were it is potential, right? If you're on a massive spanning campaign and you want to shake everything, all the shit, what would happen if the Lichay and the dwarves met?
Oh, that'd be interesting, right?
What would happen when that knowledge becomes absolutely true? How does it spread out? What occurs and so on? Could be big. I mean, that's literally, you know, sanity shaking stuff for folks.
Let's play a little creative game here. Mm-hmm. Let's create a city within the city scenario right now.
Sure.
Hey folks, Chris here. I just wanted to jump in and say we are part of the Polygamerous Podcast Network. And with that, there's some great shows in the Polygamerous Podcast Network that you might want to listen to, like Thaco with Advantage. Ange and Jared love talking about RPGs and D&D. Together, they share insights into the games they're running in the campaign journal and then tackle a variety of topics that affect the game in the DM's workshop. They're going to talk anyway, so they might as well record it. Maybe you'll even pick up an ancient D&D factoid about a previous edition of the game that you'll never use.
I have an idea for situation based on everything you just said. I love the idea that somebody stole something from inside the city, mm-hmm. but it's a Lichay that's a little bit lower on the ladder and they don't want their bosses to find out about it.
Oh, so they happen to be in, got a little light fingered for a moment, or
they let somebody know about something and then that person stole the thing. But it's their fault. And if it's found out that this Lichay let that person know what was up and had a thing stolen on their watch, they're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Okay. So one of the things that we have in Avalon is lotus. So lotus flowers are drugs, right?
Oh, love it.
Black, there's red. So if this poor Lichay, he ends up addicted to it. How do you end up addicted to it? Aha. That's because, you know, One-Eyed Steven wants something in there. He wants access. He knows this Lichee's got it. One-Eyed Steven knows that. All he's got to do is get this poor guy who's already a recovered alcoholic. All I need to do is hook him on some Lotus. So next thing you know, poor Jeremiah the Lichee, he's hooked on this stuff. He gets everything from One-Eyed Steven. And he's like, look, you know, getting harder to get. It's getting harder to get. And then not only does he have his money, he's got his life, he's got his sanity. And now he goes, hey, by the way, I need this. I'll never give it to you. Of course you will. Because if you don't, I'm going to rat you out. Crap.
And then even Jeremiah's like, fine, I'll tell you the information that you want. You'll never get in there and get it. It's too dangerous.
Exactly. It's way too dangerous. Like, fine, fuck, I'll tell you that, dude. Go ahead. Well, that is, little does he know, poor One-Eyed Steven's a lucky son of a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's wickedly skilled. Or he's got a crew of people.
Yep.
But he gets in and he gets the thing, the MacGuffin.
So, yeah. So, and I think it's a record that the Corbin family has. It has some pretty deep secrets about the dwarves and about the Soul War. That works for me anyway.
That would be very good.
Because you don't want people to know that stuff.
No, you don't. Because if there's a connection there.
So then you can have Jeremiah. He's the one that gets the characters involved. He's like, mm-hmm. Look, I need some help. I need somebody to go track down this guy, One-Eyed Steven, and grab this book. Right.
If you want to soft pedal this to the folks, they find Jeremiah. Everybody's like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? The soft intro is like, what's wrong with him? The dead are piling up. He's having a hard time. The rumor starts he's on Lotus, man. He's on something. He's on the gray stuff, the red stuff. I don't know, but he's fucked up all the time. But he quit drinking. He's not drinking. Every tavern keeper swears by the gods he hasn't fed him a drop. Well, son of a bitch. Somebody's got him hooked.
And you got to give him the reputation that he was a good Lichee before that. Like, did the job. Yep. People liked him. Like,
exactly.
This is a giant change in his personality. Like, something happened.
Yeah. So you go, you find the poor son of a gun, and you figure out, like, and he's apologetic. He's crying. He's privately telling you, like, look, Jeremiah's like, I didn't mean to. I got suckered in this and so forth. You've got a sob story. Do you want to believe the sob story? Do you care? Like, at the end of the day, whether you like the guy, you think he's a wuss-ass bitch for just giving in and doing this horrible thing, that's on your characters, right? Depends how you want to play that guy. But you can pick any personality, any of the noble families, or even the major pains in the asses that you have in your neighborhood, right? A member of the Urban Harvesters Guild wants to get access to some information around planting. Somebody from the Steersman and Navigators Guild understands that there is a book on X. Books are very easy in this case. Board of Apothecaries, the Grimhoggins, could want a alchemical formula. You've got the Wolfarts, the priests, the guys that run the Temple of Odin. They're looking for dirt on somebody. It could be something as simple as that.
You could even make it a minor noble family that wants to get into the 13, that correct. Wants to have leverage on the Corbins because this has got some dark stuff about their family inside of it.
Exactly. Oh, wow. It looks here that, you did what now? You were a regicide at some point? One of your family members killed someone? Is that what happened? You know?
And you can have now any of those things. You can actually pick like one or two of those things that you mentioned too to go with one of the other things. And now we have multiple factions that want after this thing, which feels very Avalon to me.
Especially because at this point, One-Eyed Steven's already out. He got it.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to pawn it.
Oh, he's going to have an auction.
Yeah.
Right? He'll have an auction.
And you've got people who are of the, you know, the pawnbrokers and stuff. I don't know if I want in on this. So he's trying to do it dark. He's trying to set up something. He's in a bind. If you're not quick, and if you can't figure this out, he'll be dead before the auction ever happens because he can't shut his mouth, or he asked the wrong person for aid, or he asked the pawn shop owner, and that guy's like, fuck this, I'm ratting him out.
Oh, that's interesting.
So he could go up to his guild. I mean, it's in a week. He's trying to move something really hot. What do you have there, Chris? I have the Hope Diamond, Brett. I'm not talking to you anymore. Like, yeah. This conversation's over.
You know, if you want to escalate it, I like that too, Brett. Like, I like that as an idea. Like, and they like
just a way to go. Him. Just
an no, idea. No. That timer is great. That because it puts the timer on there. Like, you have to track this guy down, find him, and figure out and tell him like you're in a lot of trouble. We could solve this problem for you by taking this off of you. We'll even give you a few coin for your trouble. And we'll go put the thing back before anybody knows.
Yep.
So therefore, then it's an investigation to find him. And then it's kind of a reverse heist to put it back.
Yeah, I've got to stick it back in the two-story tower on the northeast side of the Central Plaza. Shit, who's got a map of that? Well, I gotta go talk to Mirith the Mapmaker. Mirith knows where that is, or whatever you do.
Yeah, I love that idea.
Yeah. Along the way, for side pieces, when you talk about clocks and such, the Lichay themselves, if his leadership gets wind of this somehow because they know things, and they pull you aside and say, look, here's the situation we're in. We need this done. We need this taken care of. We'll take care of Jeremiah. I just need you to solve this problem.
Mm.
As you denim all your little wrap up comes back, do the players walk into a potential execution that they have to say or talk Jeremiah into life, right? Talk him down from wanting to hang the guy or burying him alive, because Lichay do not punish lightly. People are buried alive. People get crucified. It's not good.
That bell by the grave ain't there either.
Exactly. Exactly. So those types of adversaries. The other thing is, if you end up doing your reversed heist, this is a cool place for you to put in a nasty critter. You get your dangerous delve, right? You're diving into something, and I wouldn't go overboard, because if you go too crazy with the monsters, it'll be a goddamn, everyone's going
to
die.
It feels like it's a perfect place for ghouls to me.
It is. Ghouls, zombies.
Zombies, yep.
Skeletons, any type of, you could even have a ghostly type undead that whisper through, whisper not.
I love ghosts because you can talk to them, right? Like,
absolutely.
Ghosts are great because they're chatty. That's why I like ghouls too, because ghouls tend to be, they can also be chatty just in a different way.
Correct. And if you want something that's not undead to deal with, you get to pick a weird critter, an odd fae creature, an odd monster of some sort. However, the undead do work really well. But if you want something monster-like, you can have a troll. It'd be a great opportunity for some weird, nasty little troll that happens to live in the bottom of that tower.
You could also, since you mentioned the Fae earlier, I like the idea of like sort of like a coven hag that they're the only one left of their coven. They just kind of like live here because it's quiet and nobody bothers them.
Exactly. Yes, you get stuff like that too. But the cool part is, if you choose the creature, and that if you go creature-wise and they're chatty, there's a chance to figure out how to bypass the danger without violence.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a nasty little troll that lives in the bottom, how the hell did One-Eyed Steven get past him? The One-Eyed Troll likes porridge, man. He can't get porridge here. He likes porridge, heavy on the pepper. Don't know why he likes it. And if you talk, this will be found. If it's a hag, if it's something, if it's a ghoul, or whatever the case is, there's a conversation that can be had. You know your players better than Chris and I do. You might be like, look, Brett, that sounds cute. No, they're just gonna fucking fight him. Fine. You can have a brawl. That's totally doable. But in proper Avalon fashion, if there is a creature there guarding the thing, the creature has a reason and a need and needs and wants. And if you play your cards right, you might not have to bloody your blade.
Part of the using the reverse heist format is if it's a heist, those are discoverable things, right?
Yes.
The obstacles. And then once you discover them, you can maybe figure out how to overcome them without having to fight them. So you can actually mix your dangerous delve and your heist at the same time.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
You pick it right. And somebody's like, hey, guess what? One-Eyed Steven, we caught you. We got the thing from you. We're going to turn you over to the Lichay, okay? What? Or you just tell us where you got it from. I'll go put it back. And you've got 24 hours to run.
Yep. Because
that's all part of it.
That's how the players can win on all avenues, right? Like, it's the more dangerous way. Because they could just take the thing from Jeremiah, or not Jeremiah, from One-Eyed Steven, and return to the Lichay, and then Jeremiah is screwed.
Yes.
Right. But if they manage to find Steven, get the thing, give Steven a chance to get away, put the thing back before Jeremiah is found out by the other Lichay, then nobody knows, because it's like it never happened.
No harm, no foul, man. It's all good.
And then everybody owes the characters favors for everything.
Exactly. Well, that's the type of thing. Is like I say, I don't believe at this point, the way I run Avalon, the way I see Avalon set up, is that this is not a place where you would set up shop. It's not a under mountain or even a Thorbrandor, I should say, where you go in and go out. You go in and go out. It's not a place to constantly clock in, fight some monsters, clock back out. It's not its purpose.
No, unless you decide that you want your game to be, we're going to be the Lichay Griffins.
Yes.
Which is, that'd be cool, but that is not I wouldn't call that an expansive styled Streets of Avalon game.
No, that would be a
pretty focused.
It might be a really good con game, but other than that.
All right, is there any final thoughts on the city within the city? I thought that was actually a pretty fun exercise.
No, I like it. The other thing, just from a from my how tall are the walls perspective, right? So the outside walls are gigantic. Yeah.
Okay.
The inside walls of the city within a city are taller than the outside walls of Babylon. It is fucking hard to scale the walls and get over.
So it's like a thing then. Like people can just see it from like far, far away.
You can see it.
It's as like probably as iconic as the clock tower.
Yes, it's gigantic. You know, I've had this talk before. It's kind of like when sometimes when you're like, huh, you lived near the you lived near the Statue of Liberty all these years, never went. Yeah, never did. Should have went. Now I live in California. Shit, missed my chance, you know. But the idea is I want, and I believe it fits best if it is a physically foreboding edifice. It is, quote unquote, obvious that the normal means of entrance for an adventuring group are not the easiest. Scale the wall. Someone's going to see you, dude. But at night, there's guards on the wall. Okay, how about they can't kill you and not even, they don't have to arrest you. It is punishable by death to go in here uninvited. How are you getting in?
Dude, I am naming the neighborhood that's right by the wall's Grave Shadow.
There you go.
Because it's under the shadow of a bunch of graves, essentially.
Exactly.
It's got to be a bad place. There's probably ghouls everywhere, man.
Yep.
Like, because it's like it's a great room for them to get at.
Not going
to
get a lot of sunlight either. No. With all these fucking walls and shit around you. You're like, this place sucks.
Thank you for listening to Under the Lamplight, the Streets of Avalon role-playing game podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please follow or subscribe on whatever podcatcher you listen to this on. If you'd like to get the playtest book or keep up with the ongoing development of the game, check out thestreetsofavalon.com, our home for all your Streets of Avalon content. And we'll see you under the lamplight next week.